You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be discussing the Spurs' current three-game losing streak, as well as Victor Wembanyama's play in those games. Let's go and jump right into this episode. So, the Spurs, I'm getting some memories of last season here. So, unfortunately, the Spurs are in a tough spell right now. I was actually going to record on Tuesday night when the Spurs were off. But they were coming off the heels of a 41-point blowout. So I was like, okay, let's wait till the Knicks game on Wednesday and let's see how this goes. Maybe they'll play a little bit better. It'll be a little bit more, a little bit more competitive basketball to talk about on the podcast. And, they didn't lose by 41 on this night, but they still got blown out at New York. So I'm doing something a little bit different. Normally I have like a data digest, the film or the stats and things like that. So what I'm actually doing is I'm recording immediately after the Spurs' loss to the Knicks. So again, I'm not going to focus too much on that game because I didn't really have a lot of time to prepare for it because I just watched it and I'm just going off my observations from what I saw. So again, I'm not going to focus too much on this Knicks game because it just happened. The players haven't even probably done their post-game interviews yet as I'm taping this, but I'm going to focus more so on those other two games, the Toronto game and also the Pacers game. So let's do a quick rundown of the games, and then we'll have a discussion about Wemby and kind of his play from those first two games. So let's go back to Sunday, and I'm recording this again on a Wednesday night. The Spurs lost at home against the Toronto Raptors. Just one thing to note is that Devin Vassell was not available for this game. He was still out with that left adductor injury. And so the Raptors were favored by 3.5, but it was the Spurs who came out very well. They led by as many as 22 points. And then going into the fourth quarter, they were actually up still by 15 points, San Antonio. However, in the fourth quarter, the Raptors' length and their switching, their ability to basically play five players with a lot of length and size who could kind of just move around different spots, they really forced the Spurs' offense into a struggle there in the fourth quarter, and San Antonio had a difficult time. The Raptors did make the comeback, and then in overtime, they executed better than San Antonio, and they ended up winning that game in overtime by 7 points, the Raptors. And then one thing to note, though, that you're going to see as a trend is that the Raptors won the three-point line on that night by 27 points, 57 to 30. And that's part of how you make a comeback is by making some threes. Then on Monday, on the second out of a back-to-back and an East Coast back-to-back, so again, San Antonio lost on Sunday. They had to fly from San Antonio to Indiana, and then again, it's an earlier time because it's on the East Coast now. They're in Indiana. There's no Devin Vassell again due to injury. The Pacers were favored by 8.5, and it was a blowout. So the Pacers led by 16 points after the first quarter. That was like the last signal of like competitive basketball. The Spurs ended up trailing by as many as 44 points on this night. That's their largest deficit margin so far this season. And they ended up losing the final tally by 41 points. The Pacers scored 152 points in regulation. Again, not even overtime needed. Regulation basketball. Indiana puts up 152. And same thing that we saw there. The Pacers outscored the Spurs 60-24 from the three-point line. And again, with Vassell out for those two games, that was one thing that's notable is that it's that on the offensive end, their volume of threes just completely goes down because he's one of their high-volume shooters who's more efficient than most of the players on the team. And so you see the loss of Vassell there in those offensive stats. But then defensively, the Spurs, just giving up 60 points from three, giving up 57 points from three is going to be tough to beat anybody, even if Vassell had been there. And then let's just get through a quick recap of this Knicks game, because like I said, it's fresh. It just ended right now as I'm recording this. So Devin Vassell did return from this game. However, he didn't start. He came off the bench. And the Spurs looked like just wanted to see how his legs were because he didn't play in the second half. He only played in the first two quarters. And also, there was no reason to risk, having Vassell out there for a lot of minutes, considering that they were getting blown out in this game. So just to know what Vegas said, the Knicks were favored by 9 in this game. and the Spurs ended up losing it by 21. The Knicks led by as many as 30 points in this game. The Spurs, though, did fight back in the fourth quarter. They got it all the way down to 14. It got a little interesting there. They're down by 14. Keldon Johnson gets to the free throw line, and he ends up missing two free throws. But, you know, again, had he made those two, it could have been a 12-point game. You know, things could get interesting, a four-possession game. However, the Knicks responded down the stretch. And then with like 2.5 minutes left in the game, Coach Pop basically emptied out the bench. He took out a lot of the starters and core players. And then the Knicks ended up winning that game by 21. Victor Wembanyama had a very tough night here because, like I said, I'm going to talk about some more positives for him here in a bit on the other two games. But on this night, he really had a tough night. 4 of 14 shooting the basketball for 14 points. And a lot of Spurs players did too, and not just Wemby. One player who did have a great night scoring the basketball was Jeremy Sochan. We really saw him attacking the Knicks' interior defense. He even made a three-pointer. He ends up with 16 points on this night. But again, a lot of the time the margin was pretty big for San Antonio. And like I said, it was a blowout most of the night. So how did the Spurs do in these past three games? Vegas said they would go 0-3, and they ended up going 0-3. Again, not even Vegas projected that they'd get blown out in all of these by over 20 points in each of these losses. And or not each of them, but, you know, the Raptors game was close. But again, just the fact that they got blown out in those back-to-back games. So it's a tough road ahead for the Spurs. Let's see if now going back to San Antonio on Friday, they can get things back, back into shape here and at least try to pick up a win. It is their official first in-season tournament game on Friday. They're going to host the Minnesota Timberwolves. Where are the Spurs right now through 8 games? They are now 3-5. So the last time I recorded, they had just beat the Suns in that game. And so they haven't had a win since then. So, you know, a 3-game losing streak. They're facing their first 3-game losing streak of the season. Again, let's see how they respond on Friday when they host the Minnesota Timberwolves. Just going to go through their quick numbers because these numbers aren't updated with the Knicks game involved. So these are before the Knicks game. Going into this game on Wednesday, they were 22nd on offense before the Knicks game. And then on defense, they were already dead last in the league again, 30th where they finished last season. They were allowing 120 points per 100. Tonight against the Knicks, they gave up, I think it was 126 or 125. So that number is probably going to stay pretty bad for San Antonio where they're ranked defensively. And then I am waiting more so on like on a 10 or 15 game sample size before I do like a deep dive on where all the numbers are for the team as a whole in each area. I do want to do a podcast about that. So again, it's only been 8 games. So I'm going to still hold off just for now. Let's just call this still a small sample size. But one thing I'm noticing, especially in these three losses, is that trend that's happened the last few seasons for San Antonio. And that is the deficit from the 3-point range. So right now, as of these 8 games, they are now 1-5 when they get outscored from the 3-point line. So again, when the other team wins the 3-point line in these games, all 5 losses for the Spurs have come because San Antonio lost the 3-point battle in these games. And it just shows you in this 3-game losing streak that they're severely losing this battle right now. Against the Raptors, again, they lost it by 27 points. Against the Pacers, they lost it by 36 points. And then even tonight against the Knicks, they lost it by 30 points. So again, that 3-point gap is something that they really got to work on. And again, I'll do a deeper dive into the numbers in a future episode once we get a little bit more data, and also do some film watching and seeing, you know, where are they missing the rotations, things like that. And like I said, for two of those games, Vassell is a big part of them, at least staying with the opposite team in 3-point shooting. And when he's not available, that just shows you how much of a deficit they have in 3-point shooting the team. Some other news that came out earlier this week on Monday was that the NBA announced the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Players of the Week. Now, in the Western Conference, Stephen Curry was the Player of the Week for the Western Conference. However, Victor Wembanyama, in just week 2 of his rookie campaign, was already a nominee for the Western Conference Player of the Week. So that just shows you that Wemby's already starting to, before these losing streaks, Wemby was starting to garner some of the attention and putting up numbers that some of the best players in the NBA do, especially the fact that he was recognized there as a nominee for the Western Conference Player of the Week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, so for now, our first topic, I want to just basically dive more so into Wemby's play against the Raptors back on Sunday. And so what I'm going to do is just not go through every single play, as I watched the film and talked about some of the numbers, more so just seeing like some plays that really interested me or just like stuck out to me for Wemby on both ends of the floor, on both offense and defense. And so let's go back to Sunday against the Raptors. So on offense, he ends up playing 38 minutes in this game because they went to overtime. He scores 20 points on 7 of 16 shooting. He struggled from the three-point line, 2 of 7 shooting from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 4 assists, 2 turnovers, and he was a third in usage at 24%. Just some notes that I made were that the Raptors had Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby guarding him, and that's something we've seen is a lot of wing players guarding him so far in this early season. I know that the Knicks really made it a point of emphasis tonight to have Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein guard him. They wanted more bigs to guard him, but normally we see wing players guarding Wemby on a night-to-night basis against most teams. One play he made in the first quarter, he made an and-one spot-up three-pointer circling the top of the arc to the other side of the arc. So basically he's on one side of the arc. He kind of just like trails around real quickly. The Spurs give it to him. His defender's like caught off guard that he's that quick to just move around the arc like a shooting guard type of shooter. He gets that ball, he shoots it, and he makes it, and then he gets fouled on the same play. In the first quarter, this was a play where he catches the ball basically at the logo. He uses like a rip through move and gets between Scotty Barnes and Gary Trent Jr. And then he finishes with a two-handed dunk. So that, again, that was a very impressive play that the 7'4" player is making that kind of a move away, way outside from the three-point arc. In the first quarter also, it just shows you the kind of attention he draws. He and Jetty Osman ran a pick and pop where he screened for Jetty. Wemby popped out to the three-point line. The defense of Toronto followed Wemby, and that allowed Jetty to get a wide-open layup underneath, and he finished that. And then in the fourth quarter, there was a really impressive play that shows his passing vision. The Spurs designed an alley-oop for him out of a timeout where Keldon Johnson was going to throw the ball to Wemby out of the timeout. So Trey Jones set a back screen on Wemby's defender. The Raptors did a great job in reading that. And so Keldon was forced to throw it to Wemby because the ball's already in midair. And Wemby's got two players on him. He's kind of like almost falling out of bounds. He catches the ball midair and he throws it straight to the hoop where Charles Bassey is basically rolling in, and Bassey catches it and finishes it up for a layup. So that was a very impressive play. Again, showing Wemby's passing vision there. A play he made in crunch time of this game was he got an offensive rebound. Harrison Barnes was kind of like cheating off of Keldon Johnson. And then Wemby's got the ball in his hands on the post on one side, and Keldon's way on the other side of the corner. Wemby throws a one-handed pass, and it kind of goes in between two defenders. Keldon catches that ball, and he makes a corner three-pointer, and that was one of those plays where Keldon made the shot, but Wemby again created that opportunity by throwing that ball to Keldon and finding him. And again, what was notable was the fact that he threw it between two defenders, and that ball went straight to Keldon. It didn't get intercepted there, and it kept the Spurs in the game, even though they ended up losing there in overtime. One of the plays he made in overtime, he was posting OG Anunoby. He goes for a one dribble to the right and makes a fading jumper with Pirtle helping to contest. Just so again, just shows that he's able to make some big shots there in those closing moments. And then another play was the Raptors, or just not a play, but something I noted here on offense was that the Raptors, I know that some of the comments I was seeing on Twitter that night that day when the Spurs lost was, why weren't the Spurs getting the Wemby the ball in the fourth quarter a lot? One problem, though, was that the Raptors were sending very quick double teams at him, and they just always had, if you ever just push pause in a lot of the possessions, when Wemby's out, he doesn't have the ball in his hands, they just always have players sagging off those three-point shooters from the Spurs, because, again, the Spurs don't have a lot of threatening three-point shooters out there, and so see the defenders, especially that Toronto has a lot of size and length at almost every position, they were kind of just sagging off and kind of hovering around the three-point line. And so anytime the Spurs tried to make that pass to Wemby, there was always almost like two bodies next to him at most times. So that's something that they're facing, is that lack of spacing, especially with the some of the lineups that they're putting out there. Then on defense on this night, Wemby had 9 rebounds and a career high 5 blocks and 1 steal. I'm just going to mention some of the blocks, maybe not all of them. In the first quarter, he had a very impressive block where OG Anunoby tries to go one-on-one against him under the rim. Wemby not only blocks it, but then he basically corrals it. So he basically holds onto the ball, so it doesn't even have to go in the air. He just takes it. There was another block in the third quarter where he blocks an OG Anunoby corner three-point attempt. So I think that was like his second or third one this season that he's now blocked three-point attempts. And then in overtime, it wasn't a block, but there was a possession. I think it was Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer that retweeted this, where he basically forces the Raptors shooters to shoot two air balls in one possession where he's kind of just contesting them. They shoot, one player shoots an air ball, the Raptors get it back. Another player takes a corner to shot Wemby contest, and that player also shoots another air ball. So again, just the fact that that's something that I wish the data kind of tracked was, you know, how many air balls is Wemby creating? How many, you know, deterred shots in terms of those kind of things that, or players just not wanting to go in his vicinity. That's obviously not a stat that gets tracked, but again, that's something that we know that's happening when he is out there on the floor. So again, that was his night against the Raptors. And now again, against the Pacers on Monday, it was basically a blowout. So, you know, Wemby had a tough night, but so did most of the Spurs players in this night. So on offense, he ends up playing 21 minutes. He scores 13 points on 3 of 12 shooting. Again, a tough shooting night, just like a lot of the Spurs players. He shoots 2 of 5 from the 3-point line on this night, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. 0 assists, 2 turnovers, and then he had a 32% usage, which was first on the team. Just some plays I noted on offense for him in this blowout for the Spurs. He was being defended by Obi Toppin most of the night, and then also, like I mentioned, wing players guarding him. He had Aaron Nesmith guarding him as well most of the night there against Indiana. One play he made in the second quarter is he drives on Nesmith to the left side. Then he did a 360 spin to the left, but he missed that layup. But again, just the fact that the 7'4" player is driving in, spinning to his left 360 in midair and almost making a layup, but he ended up missing that layup. Again, just shows you his athleticism and his verticality and how impressive he can create some plays. In the second quarter, he made a wide open 28-foot three. So this is the one that was, I remember seeing a few people retweeting this on Twitter, where he catches the ball basically like, His foot initially catches it like where that P's at in the Pacers logo. And then he obviously steps in just a bit, but it gets recorded as a 28-foot spot up three that gets made as a trailing three. So that there shows some of his distance on those wide open threes. Then in the third quarter, he had a play where he's dribbling the ball up the court. He passes to Zach Collins. Zach gives it right back to him. And Wemby makes the three. So this was happening during the blowout, but again, one thing that just caught my eye was that when I used to watch Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum together on the Blazers, that was a play that they would do where Dame's bringing the ball up, he passes to CJ who's waiting up at top of the arc, and then CJ just gives it right back to him, like a give and go three-pointer basically, and then Dame would pull up and shoot, or vice versa, CJ passes Dame passes it back. So again, the fact that Wemby and Zach are already trying to start building this chemistry where he gives it to Zach at the three-point line, he gives it right back, and then and the defense can't react in time, especially that usually two bigs are guarding them, and then Wemby pulls up the three. So I'm interested to see if they start working on that play a little bit more, or like that wasn't really a play, it's more so just a read. If they start working on that, the two of them, that could be a very crucial shot, especially if Wemby has that shot going down on a specific night. And then just something else I mentioned was that he was basically, you know, again, not just him, a lot of the players, because they were down by so many points, he was basically forcing a lot of shots, Wemby, on this night, like most of the team. And then he didn't play in the fourth quarter because it was a blowout and because previous night they had already played the Spurs in overtime. So those are some of the things that I noted on offense. And then defensively, he ends up with 10 rebounds in this game, 1 steal and 2 blocks. And then just one thing I noted in terms of one of the blocks that was very impressive was that in the third quarter, he had a help block on Obi Toppin, who was putting up a layup, where Wemby actually pinned the ball to the backboard, and then the Spurs got it back. So again, that was pretty impressive there. So again, let's hope that the Spurs' fortunes change on Friday or this coming weekend when they play either the Wolves or the Heat, because you know, this is when it becomes not so fun to record some of these podcasts. It just reminds me of last year where, you know, you don't want to be just talking. It's tough to talk about this team when it's just blowout after blowout after blowout. So again, it is very early in the season. It's only game 8 that's been done. Again, when we start to get a 10, 15, 20 game sample size, we're going to have a better idea of exactly what team this is. Maybe they're just on a bad run right now, but it could end up being like last year where they end up being a lottery team. So again, we'll kind of see. I do want to wait a little bit longer for the data, and then I'll start more so diving into the actual numbers of exactly where they're at, you know, what their big problems are. So again, something that I've just noted initially is that, you know, right now that 3-point line is huge for them defensively. They're just giving up a lot of threes right now. You know, just one player dribbles in, they kick out, and then you know, the Spurs are just scrambling. They're missing the rotations is what I'm seeing early on. Again, I will dive into more of the tape of what's going on there, and then just the team with some of the lineups that they're putting out, especially without Vassell. What the numbers are showing is that they just don't have 3-point shooters out there that the defenders are respecting. Basically, they sag off a lot of those players, which cramps the spacing, which makes it difficult for players like Wemby to be able to create. And then even him, you know, he's had some tough goings. Even against the Knicks, I think he shot 4 of 14 from the floor. He even had like an airball three. So it's just been a tough three games for the Spurs. So again, we'll see if by this time next week when I record another podcast, if there's more positives to talk about. But again, we'll kind of just wait and see what happens. So this was just a quick short episode recorded right after the Knicks game. So I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe. Have a great day.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.